First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springson Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all of the latest stories, investigations, anything else we've got going, as well as catch the latest podcast of this show. For you guys that are new to our listening audience, we want to tell you our call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334. For you folks in a listening queue, please hit that number one on your dial pad, and that lets us know that you want to be on air. We'll get you on as soon as I can. And for everybody else, hey, man, there's always a live chat. Jump in. You never know who's going to be in there. Sometimes it's full, sometimes it's empty. Who knows? Whatever's on your mind, take it to the live chat. We'll try to get to it. You can sign in using your social media accounts with Facebook and Twitter, as well as right here at BTR. But don't forget, while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter. We'll make sure that everything gets sent to your inbox on a weekly or monthly basis, your choice. And join the RSS feed, and this show will get delivered to you as well. We want to make sure you stay informed, and that's the goal. And I tell you, man, there's never a shortage of information. We're going to get to one of the comical stories here in a few minutes concerning some of these races. But I want to put this out there real quick. Yesterday, 22-year-old Danny Cogswell, University of Louisville student, and also part of the cheerleading squad, was found dead. Apparently, it is being investigated as basically a drug overdose at this point. No foul play is suspected. They're waiting for toxicology reports to confirm or deny it. I just wanted to point this story out. I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, the drugs in our community and our society really have become a rampant problem. I mean, here, if this indeed proves to be true that it was a drug overdose, here you have a 22-year-old University of Louisville cheerleader on scholarship that transferred here from Arizona State last year, over a year ago, and was described, as being a world-class gymnast and in the upper echelon of talent for the cheerleading team. That says a lot. So my condolences to the Cogswell family. As a fan of University of Louisville in general, but as somebody who is getting sick of seeing this kind of stuff happening to our young people in our future, you know, my condolences and prayers go out to the family and to anyone that is suffering from it. You know, we really need to get a handle on this drug problem. We'll get into a lot of that going forward over the next few months. I just thought it was something you guys needed to know. You know, it never really amazes me anymore where you come from, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you've got great opportunity, whether you have no opportunity. It just goes to show you that drugs hit everybody at every level in our society. Now, you know, again, this isn't confirmed that it's been an overdose, but all indications are leading it that way. And if nothing else, by being able by mentioning this as a possibility, maybe somebody will think twice before they decide to go down that road. In the meantime, as you know, this show is about issues, politics, scandals, you name it. And I tell you, it's a constant struggle trying to keep up with all of these fools. It really is. And by the way, I have to apologize for my voice. I am suffering from some major allergies today, so I don't know what's going on. But, you know, we'll take a break or two here shortly and try to get that straightened out. But I tell you, MSD has been a situation for us at Louisville News and Politics and the MVM Radio for many, many years. You know, I actually ran, and MSD was part of the problem when I ran in 2006 as mayor in this city. It has been a common situation that they continue to raise rates each and every year, that they agree to a consent decree that none of their ratepayers agree to. You know, and now we've got another story coming out. It might not seem like much of a story to most of you guys, but it is to me. MSD decided on Monday to spend about $600,000 on bonuses to give to each of their 600 employees. Normally, if it's a private enterprise, they want to give out employee bonuses and everything else, more power to you. You know, if you make a profit, you want to share it with your employees, you should. But for me, when it comes to government and we start looking at this so-called profit to be given back to employees, that's a major problem for me. MSD is a monopoly. They describe themselves as a quasi-governmental agency, which means they work in conjunction with the city of Louisville. The payouts are described as a first for MSD. You know, they're designed to give to their employees some sort of reward, you know, for their efforts towards complying with this EPA consent decree and environmental regulations. The problem is, you know, they approved of this spending, and then immediately after it, they raised our rates once again by 5.5%. So they raised our rates 5.5%, brought in $9 million, and are going to give $600,000 to the employees. That's a problem for me. I don't know about you guys, and I really want to hear from you on that, because that is a problem. You know, and they're going on record as saying that they spent $7.6 million less than what they had budgeted last fiscal year, according to the Human Resources Director, Lynn Fleming, and we've talked about her before. So, you know, they're going on record. Yvonne Hatfield, from out here in the southwest part of the county, is on the MSD board and actually went on record as saying that if MSD has a good year, we should share with our employees. Do you guys agree with that? Because I really truthfully don't. I really truthfully don't. You just told us that you saved $7.6 million from last year. That's money that you didn't spend that was budgeted, so that's surplus money, and you wanted to raise our rates and approve a rate increase of 5.5% to bring in another $9 million to your coffers. If you've got $7.6 million, folks, feel free. Go ahead. Give your employees those $600,000. But don't come to me and raise my rates to get more money from me when you can afford to do that. And the only reason you can afford to do that is because you continue raising my rates. And then, out of top of all of that, if you've got $7.6 million, and let's presume for 1 minute that you take the $0.6 or the $600,000 and give to the employees for an employee bonus for the first time in your history that we, the taxpayers and ratepayers, are stuck with, you've still got $7 million left as a surplus, according to your own Human Resources Director, Lynn Fleming. So tell me how you justify a 5.5% rate increase in these hard times and making us and forcing us all to comply. It has no merit whatsoever. I cannot believe that nobody is raising hell about this. Nobody. You know, and of course, you know, some of the board members are trying to play dumb. Well, we didn't know about the bonus plan until it was brought to our attention on Monday. One went on record saying they didn't like the timing. You know, it's just incredible to me. You know, so the labor union workers get the bonus. You know, and these guys have been in a contract dispute for more than 2 years. The union labor accounts for about 28% of MSD, and you get a lot of these facts from Courier Journal. Let's give them credit, okay? When you look at all this stuff, you're in a contract dispute. You just told us you didn't need to increase our rates because you had surplus money, but you're going to go ahead and increase them anyway. You're going to get bonuses to everybody, including an extra $700. And I said extra on top of the bonus to each union member to reimburse them because they haven't had annual raises because they're still working under their old contract since they've been on a contract negotiation for 2 years. Somebody asked me this. Does this look like either vote buying either for the union contract or for the Democrats, which would be normal? I'm having a real problem trying to understand the justification for this, and nobody is talking about it. Well, we're going to. We're going to get into the middle of all of this, and we're going to start looking at some serious ways to hold MSD accountable, even if it requires filing lawsuits and filing charges. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This should be another slap in the face to each and every Louisvillian. The administration, the Democratic Mafia in this town, owns everything lock, stock, and barrel. You can't say that they own MSD like they do the Louisville Water Company. But they appoint the members. They appoint the leadership. They appoint the director. So the mayor's office has all the power with that. So here we are trying to appease the unions. I mean, let's face it. Even the union leadership said they were caught by surprise. They said they were caught by surprise. They didn't expect this $700 deal because it's outside of the collective bargaining agreement. So what are they trying to buy? And that's where the problem always comes in, folks. We have got to take a good, hard, strong look at this situation and see where it leads us in the long run. That's the bottom line. And speaking of things that lead us to different places, Clark County, Indiana sheriff is being investigated by the FBI. You don't say, right? Clark County Sheriff Danny Rodden was arrested yesterday morning, basically for playing with a prostitute. I'm going to take this phone call real quick. I want to hear, this is Paul Hollinger with Stop It. Paul, how are you?
I didn't catch that story because I don't subscribe to the Daily Courier Journal for a whole bunch of reasons. But is that where you found the story yet about the MSD bonus?
That was one of the sources, yes. That was one of the sources. And it was fascinating, Paul. I'm glad you're on the line because I'm fascinated here to hear what you say because they agreed to give $600,000 in bonuses after they had announced they had a $7.6 million surplus from last year and still gave us a rate increase of 5.5%. Go ahead.
Well, I like where you're going with that thought, and that is this is the classic way that the government, various government agencies, be it local or state, thinks about the people who contribute the money to the operations. That $7.6 million should be kicked back, if you will, to the ratepayers in the form of lower rates. It's their money. It's not MSD's money, number one. Number two, this money being redirected to the labor unions is simply an effort to buy the labor unions off or to buy off the labor union leadership for keeping the natives under control, okay? But nonetheless, you know, since they claim they're a quasi-governmental agency, then it would seem to me that the governmental part of it should actually rule the day when it comes to giving out bonuses. And the fact that these bonuses are beyond the collective bargaining agreement, again, I think this raises all sorts of red flags, Ed. I think it's challengeable, but the most important detail that you mentioned was the one board member whose name you named, who, if I heard you correctly, she indicated that she was okay with the idea
yes.
of giving out bonuses.
Yes, that was Yvonne Hatfield from out in the southwest portion of the county. She says that she's fine with it. If MSD has a good year, we should share with our employees. Now, you know, most people out here know Yvonne Hatfield. Go ahead.
Now, if you're fairly confident that that quote is accurate, okay, that really troubles me because Yvonne Wells Hatfield has traditionally been on the side of the ratepayer. Now, for her to make a statement like that suggests that she is no longer on the side of the ratepayer. In fact, as a board member, is her job to decide bonuses when there's a collective bargaining agreement in place? I don't think so. I don't think that the rank and file, those covered by the contract, labor contract, need to even be considered for bonuses. I don't. I just don't think that because they are a governmental agency. I don't like the precedent that it sets.
I think Yvonne Hatfield I was going to say, I just think Yvonne Hatfield just proved what most of us know to be true because Yvonne Hatfield was on the side of ratepayers before she became an MSD board member, and now not so much. Now that she's an MSD board member and has this inflated ego of self-confidence and self-worth, now she's decided to go ahead and go along with the program so she can feel superior. That's what it appears to me to be. And when you talk about the labor, I'm glad you brought that in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go there because I know Yvonne on a personal level. I've met her at a number of meetings, and she's not arrogant at all. It's not an ego trip for her, okay? So I'm going to respectfully disagree with that assessment. But it does make me wonder what has happened to cause her to make a statement that says, I'm okay with the money that was forcibly extracted from the ratepayers. I'm okay with simply redistributing it to the employees for a bonus that's not covered by a labor union contract. Why isn't she saying, I want the ratepayers to get a refund of their hard-earned money that we force them to pay? And I use that term deliberately, Ed, because according to the Commonwealth of Kentucky's laws, okay, you here in urban areas like Louisville and other urban areas around Kentucky, we are forced by law to subscribe and pay for sanitary sewer service if we get city water and if that sanitary sewer service is available in the community. Now, a lot of places out in the country, there is no sanitary sewer system in place, and they still use septic, okay? So they would be exempt. But here in the city of Louisville in Jefferson County, we don't have that choice. You build a house in Jefferson County today that is in a neighborhood that's got a sewer system, you are forced by law to hook up to it. There's no option. So MSD forces us through state law to hook up to their system, and then they send us a bill, and we are forced to pay it because, Ed, if we ever fail to pay the sewer part, D has the power to get our water turned off. So, yeah, I'm really, really, really irritated that Yvonne Wells Hetfield, having made a statement like that, appears now to have been co-opted by these dogs that run this so-called quasi-governmental agency that has all this power and control over every one of us and our budgets in our homes.
Ugh. And again, that just tells me that since she's become an MSD board member, that she has got this inflated thing of self-worth, or she wants to make sure she keeps that job for whatever reason. And here's the thing, Paul. I mean, this is the thing. You bring up the septic tanks. Yes, you know, we're required by law to feed this monopoly because there is no choice and no competition. You know, and this was done really for the most part after merger. They forced the county residents, like myself, I've owned two homes in the area of town where I live out in the southwest, and both homes were forced to convert. I got rid of my last home because they forced me to convert to sewers. I was quite happy with my septic system. My septic system never backed up. It never polluted or had caused any environmental damage, and they forced me to pay thousands of dollars. Then I moved to this home, and within 2 years of being here, they made me do the same thing. And that's the whole problem. The septics weren't the problem. The EPA got into this consent decree, and the city of Louisville Democratic Mafia said, great, here's a fantastic way to make money. And as we know, there was a lot of serious issues that we were trying to find out addressed through the law, you know, as far as even the cost of this. Most people were paying $4,000 or $5,000 to have to hook up to MSD, where other places around the country like St. Louis, that was a comparable that was doing the same thing, was costing thousands of dollars less. This has been nothing more than a controlled movement by the Democratic Mafia here. And then when we sit here, if Yvonne Hatfield would have been doing her job the way that we expected her to do when she was put onto the MSD board, the first thing she would have said was, we just have $7.6 million that we saved from last year. If we're going to go ahead, we can bypass a rate increase this year, keep rates the same, give the $600,000 bonuses to the employees, and take the $7 million and reinvest it in this year's budget, which would have been a lot better. I think most people, including me, and it sounds bad, but I don't expect them to go year to year raising and lowering rates, you know, but if we don't have a rate increase this year, to me, we're a winner. Take the money that you budgeted last year and didn't use and reallocate it to this year's budget. Then you don't need a rate increase. And nobody had the forethought to even think about that. No, they went ahead and approved a 5.5% increase anyway. And then on top of that, I mean, even the union leadership, Paul, was caught off guard and completely shocked when they found out not only are they going to get, you know, the regular bonus that they're giving to everybody, no, indeed, they're also going to get an extra $700 to the 28% or 160 employees that are members of the union. You know, this is incredible. This is incredible.
Hold on. Does your information refer to those people who are not members of the union getting any of the bonuses?
The $600,000 that they're planning on putting out in bonuses goes to each and every worker. Every worker gets a bonus, period.
Okay, so
in
that's
the end.
Union
now,
and
yeah.
Non-union. Okay.
Yeah, union and non-union. Now, what's really interesting, like I said, is the fact that, you know, according to the Courier Journal, as I mentioned, according to the Courier Journal, you know, all the workers are getting the bonuses, but there's 160 members of the Laborers International Union of North America. They represent about 28% of all MSD employees. So they are getting paid an additional $700 per person on top of the bonus. And the reason, the justification they're trying to use for this is they have been in contract dispute for more than 2 years, so effectively working under the terms of the old contract, and the old contract did not allow them to have annual raises. So they're going to give them this extra $700 per person, you know, since they hadn't gotten a raise for 2 years under the terms of the old contract. I'm dumbfounded. They're continuing to negotiate this contract. Are they trying to buy Democratic votes? Are they trying to buy a new contract? I mean, Paul, all of this smells to high heaven.
Well, it does, but then, Ed, and I know you didn't mean the pun necessarily, but when you're dealing with a sewer agency, almost everything they do smells to high heaven.
Yes, I knew I was punning. I almost used the word stink, and I figured, well, let's try smells. But it is fascinating. So here we've got, you know, our Democratic Mafia leadership, because that's who runs MSD. I mean, Greg Heisman was appointed director of MSD by the mayor, who appoints every director of MSD. Okay, this is all set up by design. You know, now they've got to show something, I guess. This is the first time I can remember in recent years anyway that MSD has said they spent less than they had in their budget. So they've intentionally, so they basically got a surplus. You know, and this is all by design because we know the end game is to go ahead and merge the Louisville Water Company, which is 100% owned lock, stock, and barrel by the city of Louisville, with MSD. I want somebody to explain to me how this whole quasi-government term came about in an effective way. And all it essentially means is the government gets to involve themselves in the business and don't have to take any recourse for it. They don't have to abide by regular governmental law. That's the only thing I can ever get out of that term, quasi-governmental. It's nothing more than a ruse to hide what they want to do.
I'll agree with that assessment because it sure is a very loosely monitored and even more loosely overseen aspect of the way government does what it does. I just pulled up that Courier Journal article, and here's a statement in here by the labor union, a guy for the Laborers Union International. He said that as far as he's concerned, that this behavior of MSD leadership, quote, shows how MSD leadership makes decisions on its own outside the terms of collective bargaining agreements, unquote.
Right.
And I think that is 100% on target. Let me translate that into short-sleeve English. MSD does whatever it wants to do, and they don't care what anybody else thinks, and they don't care what other agreements or restrictions are in place. They're going to do what they want to do. And I've read all these quotes here from Yvonne Wells Hatfield, and she has clearly gone over to the other side. Clearly. She is absolutely no longer on the side of the ratepayer. She needs to go. And by the way, Ed, just for the sake of your listening audience, all MSD board members are selected by the mayor of the city of Louisville.
Yep.
They're nominated by and almost always approved for the position, one of the eight positions on the MSD board. Now, MSD goes through a sleight of hand process in that they say that they're going to select one person from each of the eight Senate districts that cover Jefferson County, Kentucky. However, what they don't say is they're only going to select from those people that are nominated by the mayor. In other words, the ratepayers have no say whatsoever in the nomination of or the selection of the people who end up having the power by law to raise the rates.
And the problem is MSD is not a government agency, so we really can't force an election, can we?
They actually are a state agency by law. MSD is a state agency. So there are some options available for those of us who want to hold them accountable. We would have to escalate this into the courts in order to hold them accountable. But as far as oversight by any government agency in Kentucky, no, there is none. There is absolutely none.
I agree.
Courts are the only option, Ed.
And that's exactly where I was leading. That's why I said earlier when I started on this subject that, you know, we're going to start looking at lawsuits and court action because it has to be done. This is ridiculous. This is totally ridiculous. And it's interesting, too, because as you mentioned, the labor union attorney, David Sutholtz, who made a statement that you were referring to, you know, even the labor union leadership is saying this is wrong. I mean, when you look at that and you dissect it, you look at it, point blank, they're saying this is wrong. We are working under an extension of our old contract, which means there are no raises. What this really does to me, truthfully, for you guys who want to gripe and moan and groan and do what you want to do and argue this amongst yourselves, but if you're going to gripe and moan and groan about right-to-work laws and everything else, what you're seeing here is the city testing the waters to see what they can get away with and what they can't with collective bargaining agreements. This is the way that I looked at this. They're saying, okay, we're going to offer your employees $700 apiece on top of the regular bonuses, even though, according to the contract we're working under, they can't get any raises or bonuses. We're going to go ahead and do it. And if they bite and they accept that money, then they've just violated the collective bargaining agreement. So now we've got plenty of room. We know that there's a dollar amount where we can buy a contract. And what you're going to find is this union, the union membership, is going to sit here and say, wow, they gave us $700. It's just like they do in the private sector. We'll go ahead and start offering a $500 or $600 bonus every year in lieu of giving cost of living or in lieu of giving pay raises for the next contract, and we're going to save megabucks. So the city is testing the waters with this, but they're doing it outside of collective bargaining agreement. At least, I've got to admit this, at least the Laborers International Union of North America is actually willing to go on record and say, hey, look, this is ridiculous because they want to work outside the terms of collective bargaining. They're actually showing some balls by pointing out the obvious, and I've actually got to commend them for that. How about you?
Well, it almost sounded like all those words that you just uttered beginning to sound like MSD could be in the early stages of union busting.
Oh, of course. Of course. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And the fact that the union recognizes that, and now they're going to try to fight for survival, let's see if they take the money. If those members of that union take the money, then they're fools. And they have just proven that anybody can be bought, much as Yvonne Hatfield has proven that anybody can be bought with those statements that she made. It's ridiculous to me. I got to take a quick break. It's the bottom of the hour. Paul, you going to stick around?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, man, because I think you're going to like this next story, too. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. You ain't heard nothing yet.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Network. Don't forget, as always, call-in numbers, 858-683-1326, and in Louisville area, 502-805-0334. If you guys are in the listening queue, there's always a few of you. We appreciate it. Hit that number one on your dial pad, just as our good friend Mr. Paul Hollinger has done, who has agreed to stay with us through the break. Paul, I tell you, we're going... There's always something stupid going on, and once again, we've got another stupid story, this time from Indiana, and we're going to get into Kentucky here in a minute, but Clark County Sheriff Danny Rodden was arrested Tuesday morning. He was indicted in May of last year for giving a prostitute law enforcement credentials that included a deputy's badge so that she could get a government rate at a Louisville hotel. Talk about a cheap prostitute, right? The U.S. Attorney's Office said that they met again later that month at a Louisville hotel. Rodden was caught paying the prostitute $300. He also gave her a uniform shirt and some other official Clark County clothing. You know, this guy is the former chief of the Jeffersonville Police Department. He's been sheriff in Clark County since 2007. Why do guys at that level, of course he's married with two kids too, why do guys at that level just really get this stupid? Do they think they're above the law because of the badge?
Oh, that absolutely has part of the explanation. But you know what? You can actually take that and extrapolate there to people in Washington. You know, why did John Edwards go and have an affair, you know, with someone who wasn't, of course, his wife? You know, it's the same type of mentality. And I think it has to do not just with the badge thing, although I think the badge thing is probably more germane to this story than not, but I think it's a power thing that these people actually believe their press clippings, that they're really important people, and that the regular laws don't apply to them because they're special.
You take the case of John Edwards. I'll even go back to Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. You know, I mean, having an affair. It is really true. That's a private matter. If you want to have an affair, that's between you, your spouse, and your God, if you believe, okay? And that's really not my business. It's not so much the affair that bothers me. It's really not. What bothers me is the fact that this guy was so cheap that he had her rent a room and he gave her his badge to use, or some deputy's badge to use, so she could get a cheaper rate on the room for him. And the fact that, you know, again, it's a prostitute. He's engaging in illegal activity, and he's allowing the trust from we the people that we instill in these kind of guys, you know, being the sheriff and being a former chief and all these other things. And he's giving a prostitute, engaging in the illegal act, and then compounding that illegal act by giving them law enforcement credentials and insignia.
They think they're special. No, they're
That's
special. They don't have to follow the same rules they're tasked with enforcing. That's what it is.
It doesn't really
matter whether it's a prostitute or let's just say that he's having an affair. And the party he's having an affair with does the same thing. That really isn't the story. Story isn't the prostitute. Story is he simply thinks he's special, and he doesn't have to follow the same rules.
Well, I agree, and he proved it with the credentials and everything else. That's funny. In the meantime, here in Kentucky, Walter Dale Stumbo, cousin to our good House Speaker in Kentucky, Greg Stumbo, actually pled guilty, finally, to a charge of conspiracy to sponsor or exhibit an animal in a fighting venture and conduct an illegal gambling business. Bottom line is, Walter Dale Stumbo, current House Speaker Greg Stumbo's cousin, a Democrat Greg Stumbo's cousin, said, okay, I've been running an illegal cockfighting ring. That's what it was all about. They were running an illegal cockfighting enterprise at McDowell called the Big Blue Sportsman's Club. And this wasn't just some small thing, folks. I mean, this place had arena-style seating. It had multiple fighting pits. It had its own restaurant. They had club memberships on file for more than 6,000 people. You know, they had people from all over the country coming in, Michigan, Illinois, Maryland, you know, to watch cockfighting illegally. And you know, Greg Stumbo, you know, really didn't have anything to do about all of this. You know, he says he didn't know anything about it anyway. It's his cousin. We know better than that. Says he feels sorry for his cousin. What he really feels sorry about is the fact that his cousin got caught. Let's be clear here. But, you know, so as part of the sentencing, apparently the government is going to try to collect $905,000 from all of those who were charged, including Walter Dale Stumbo, Democrat House Speaker Greg Stumbo's cousin. Joshua Dale Stumbo pled guilty to the same thing. They're going to be sentenced in October. And from what I understand, it could be a lot of years in jail. Why? This has been going on for so many years. People have known about it forever, and they just finally decided a year ago to go undercover and investigate it. You know, how long has this guy been under protection, or has he? You know what I mean? I'm having a real problem understanding that the Speaker of the House, who keeps in contact with his cousin and everything else, you know, sits here and acts dumbfounded when it happens. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny you've got two stories back-to-back, Ed, that deal with behavior of individuals who are acting as independent business people, okay? Prostitutes act as independent business people. Cockfighting thing as an independent business people. Now, are the laws related to cockfighting meant to protect the animals? No, because if the whole idea about not killing chickens is a good public policy, then why are there chicken farms out there that simply produce lots of fryers for places like KFC and Purdue Farms? So us trying to say that cockfighting is a sport that inflicts unusual and cruel punishment on the animals who end up dying, my God, that's exactly what happens in chicken farms and factories. So it's kind of hypocritical for a state like Kentucky to sit there and say, we know what's best for chickens, when in fact all of these rules and laws are set up to regulate or try to regulate individuals' behaviors who are engaged in private commerce. And the government hates that because private commerce transactions, whether it be a cockfighting ring, a sportsman's club, as they called it, or whether it's a prostitute, the government doesn't get any of that money. They can't get their paws on that money. We've got places in Las Vegas where in Nevada where prostitution is legal. Prostitution is legal over in Europe. Why? Because the government gets a piece of that money. That's why.
Well, there you go. It's also legal in Nevada.
Well,
why,
that's what
I'm
saying.
Why is it legal in Nevada?
That,
yeah. You know, that's what I, because, I'm trying to, I'm, you know, go ahead.
Because
go
Harry
ahead.
Reid needs a place to go every once in a while. He gets tired of looking at Nancy Pelosi. But that's a bad joke. Anyway, the point is, if government can get their hands on the money involved in the behavior, then it's okay with government. Right now, government can't get into the private sports clubs that are masquerading that pretending to be private, but they're really cockfighting activities. They can't get into the prostitution industry, okay? They nip at the perimeter of that. The local cops have a lot of fun busting prostitutes because it makes their numbers look good. But the bottom line on all of this is that it has to do with the money. They claim prostitution is illegal because it prevents the spread of disease. Okay, it does prevent the spread of some disease if you clamp down on it. But prostitution's been going on ever since humans have been on this planet. Nevada's found a way to make prostitution a palatable community activity. Europe has been doing it for decades. So again, it's nothing about, it's just about the money and government getting their paws on the money. That's it. It's that simple on both of them.
Well, that's it. And apparently it's easier for the government to tax us to death for phony drug wars and law enforcement. They make more money taxing us to death for that than they probably would on the tax revenue they'd get from hookers. I don't know.
You're bringing in subject number three, which Colorado and several other states have decided that this war on drugs, in particular marijuana, is futile, and they have finally found a way to get a piece of that action, and everybody's now happy in Colorado, and I mean that in more than one way.
I was waiting for you. I was going to go there. I'm glad you did. It's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, I'd be happy too, I guess, you know, but it's the truth, and it's really sad that we got to continue having this kind of stuff, you know. But this cockfighting thing has always been crazy. It's always been mind-boggling to me how, like, you know, you brought up the KFC and the chicken farms and all that stuff, how we think that's just atrocious, but it's okay to put these, you know, gaffs, you know, which are nothing more than steel knives and man-made weapons, you know, on the end of these birds, you know, tailors, whatever the hell you want to call them, and, you know, they get this cut, slash, and gash and decapitate and kill another bird for sport. I mean, that just makes no sense to me. In the meantime...
Don't go to that sport thing. Don't go to that sport thing because now you're opening up a whole another door to the world of sportsmen who go game hunting. What about the sportsmen that simply shoot rabbits and squirrels and deer just for the fun of it? Come on,
well,
Ed.
Our society and
government is all messed up.
I have always said I could shoot a human before I would shoot an animal. That's the truth. It would be easier for me to kill a human who has the ability to realize what they're doing is wrong versus an animal who is innocent. You know, at the same time, if we're going to bring in the sportsmen, hunters and stuff, hunting has been part of the human DNA since our very existence. If you hunt for food, that's not a big deal. I know plenty of people who hunt rabbit, squirrel, deer, you name it, and they use it as food. To me, that's acceptable.
Not every one of them does that, though, Ed.
That's what I'm saying.
Not everyone does that.
That's what I'm saying. The people you're talking about who hunt just to kill something and act like they're big and bad and all that's going to go to waste, it's not benefiting anybody. I agree with you. That's pathetic. But, you know, there are millions of people out there who hunt, and they use that for food, and, you know, it's sport to them, but at the same time, it's nourishment. You know, and that I can go along with. Even though I can't shoot Bambi, I certainly love deer meat. I've got a brother-in-law who makes some fantastic deer jerky, and I love deer meat, but I just can't shoot Bambi. But, of course, if I raised a cow in my backyard, I wouldn't be able to eat the steak off of his carcass, if that makes sense.
I love it. You keep opening up the door. That's right, Ed.
Yeah. I always do. here's a can of worms. You're going to love me to open, though. I've got to switch. I want to get this story in before the end of the show because it's so comical. It really is. And you know, we continue talking about these political races. The Kentucky Senate race is hot on the horizon throughout the entire country. Everybody is watching this. And the best Democrats can do in this Commonwealth is come up with a Democratic candidate called Alice in Wonderland Grimes. That's my pet name for her. Her real name is Alice in Lundigan Grimes. But this is how stupid this Democratic candidate is. She was asked about foreign policy, primarily, you know, regarding the conflict between Israel and Hamas, when she was interviewing with the Lexington Herald Leader. Now, if you want to know how dumb this empty airhead is, and I've used those terms on her for a long time, people think that it's wrong for me to be disparaging like that, but there's just no respect for her. She's nothing more than a political hack. But for me, her response to this when asked, you know, about her foreign policy and the conflict between Israel and Hamas, her response was that the Iron Dome has been a big reason why Israel has been able to withstand the terrorists that have tried to tunnel their way in. I want to read that to you again. Hopefully I don't get tongue-tied this time. It's hard for me to read this without trying to laugh. But Alice in Wonderland Grimes' response to Israel and Hamas conflict is that the Iron Dome has been a big reason why Israel has been able to withstand the terrorists that have tried to tunnel their way in. Paul, off the top of your head, can you see why I'm laughing at that statement?
Ed, when I found out about that a little earlier and saw that the national media and all kinds of bloggers and news websites are having a field day with that statement,
Why are we having a field day? What is the Iron Dome?
Again, for the few of your listeners, and since you tend to attract an intelligent audience, and I have to exclude Alison Grimes from that because had she been listening to your show, she would have known these things before she opened her mouth. But since she doesn't listen to your show, the Iron Dome is a missile and rocket defense system that the Israelis have been using for the last 3 years. It's a program and equipment that is actually the United States government has actually been helping them with, and it's been remarkably successful at minimizing the rocket and missile attacks that have been launched by the enemies of Israel. Okay, but it is an air defense system. It's an air, emphasis on air. If it's in the air, the Iron Dome can deal with it, okay? But if it's in a tunnel, I'm not so sure that the two go together. So it just amazes me at how Alison Grimes uttered those words. It amazes me because, number one, here she is competing for a national office with a job in Washington, D.C., and she will be in a position to set all kinds of policies, including some to some degree foreign policy. And this woman doesn't even know these basics of the way the world works, particularly from the perspective of one of the United States' biggest and most favored allies. Now, that calls into question her capability and her qualifications to be in a job like that. It really does. And some of the other websites were a whole lot less charitable than I was just because they were actually calling into question her intelligence.
Well, I would call it a question of her intelligence. I don't think she has any. But here's the reality. You're absolutely right. The Iron Dome is started about 3 years ago. It's a joint U.S.-Israeli missile defense system that was put into place because Hamas and other terrorist organizations are always attacking Israel, are shooting these rockets through the air into Israel. So this missile defense system has been very effective at destroying these rockets in midair before they have a chance to hit buildings and score lives, which was very stunning that she decided that the Iron Dome was doing a great job in helping Israel stop these tunnels. Well, later in the day today, our good friend Philip Bailey over at WFPL, and I always give Philip great credit. He's a good guy. Does a good job. But Philip Bailey did a report on this story. And he put an interesting quote in there that once Alison Lundgren Grimes started getting attacked for this, they came up with a new quote, right? So Grimes told WFPL in a statement today that the Iron Dome is an integral part of Israel's defense system, which allows them to defend themselves against missiles and focus their efforts on eradicating the terrorists who try to tunnel their way in. To me, that statement is no better. And I tell you why. She's going back. She realizes she got caught being stupid, that this is actually an air missile defense system and not dealing with tunnels. So now she's trying to double down on it. Well, because of this missile defense system, they can focus their efforts on the people who are digging the tunnels. Alice, listen to me. This is something that's been in place for 3 years. The tunnels continue to get built. Hamas continues shooting rockets so that Israel has to focus on the rockets, which diverts their attention from the tunnels. For every tunnel that Israel knocks out, Hamas is building three more. The Iron Dome has absolutely nothing to do with tunnels. Get away from that. You're an idiot. I mean, it's just stupid, Paul. How did she justify, or how do her handlers, if I was her handler right now, I've got to be totally honest with you, if I was her handler and I was running her campaign and I was part of her campaign staff, I think I would cringe any time she opened her mouth to answer any question. Would you? She is clearly clueless.
I think the entire Democrat Party in Kentucky and all of their allies around the country are sitting there in permanent cringe mode because they now have reason to fear what comes out of the lips of this woman for the rest of the campaign. And I like your analogy about doubling down because even the clarified statement, which I'm sure was written by one of her handlers in an attempt to mitigate the horrendous damage that her words, she probably spoke those words extemporaneously, which always gets candidates into trouble when
they're
speaking from the cuff. That's one of the fun things, watching these candidates speak extemporaneously. But I'm not sure that she's going to be able to recover from this, okay, even with the help of the mainstream media. This is pretty significant. It goes to, does she really understand the job that she's applying for? And I don't believe that she does.
She doesn't understand the job she's been elected to. Go ahead.
But here, let's go one step further. Okay? Let's speculate just a little bit about why she is the presumed nominee, okay? Okay. The Democrats, Ed, might have talked her into this as a sacrificial lamb, maybe down deep, they realize that they really can't unseat Mitch. As bad as he is, they really can't unseat Mitch. And they're preparing her for a future race. She's already won statewide office, so she's got a degree of name recognition. This is going to create more name recognition, but is it going to be done in the right way? And I'll give you one last example on this. Another one of their golden boys uttered statements a few years ago about the Aqua Buddha incident. The Aqua Buddha incident. And he made a name for himself with the Aqua Buddha incident. Okay? Did it help him or did it really injure his political reputation?
Oh, it destroyed him. And I can't wait. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that the Democrat strategists, they weren't prepared for the Iron Dome statement, number one. And number two, I'm utterly shocked that they didn't go through some prep time with this woman to deal with national matters. Alison Grimes, she may be somewhat knowledgeable about state and local matters, but she is way out of her league on national matters. And this Iron Dome thing, I think, has just got them cringing. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if secretly they're basically throwing up the white flag and said, we're going to go through the motions, folks, but we know we're going to get our butts handed to us in the fall. Even with a bad candidate like Mitch McConnell. That's the kicker. Even a bad candidate is going to...
I actually kind of disagree with you. I can understand your logic. I can understand that completely. But realistically, right now, I think that the Democrats actually believed, I don't know that they still do, they may go through the motions from here out, but I think that they actually believed until now that Alison had a chance. And I tell you why. It's because, as we found out in 2008, I want to go all the way back that far with just a second, but as we found out in the Democrats' presidential election, you know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were the two favorites. You know, they wanted an African-American or a woman as president of the United States. And the women energized politically within the Democratic Party. And you have seen more and more of that sexist influence. And I say sexist because it's sexist of the Democrats just to try to promote somebody because they're a female, not because they're best for the job. So it's not me trying to be a sexist. It's the program that they put together. I think, honestly, the Democrats realize that they're in such trouble in this upcoming November election because of their own boondoggles through Obamacare. All the daggone, you know, things surrounding the Obama administration is just incredible. All of these things have come to haunt them that I think that they are using a last-ditch effort. I think that's why they tried to get Ashley Judd in the first place to run in this race, but Ashley Judd is a nut job. But she had a hell of a lot of national attention. She could bring in a lot of money. And they were hoping that her image would sell her as a legitimate candidate. But then they found out she's crazy, so they couldn't use her. And I think it's the same thing with Alison London Grimes. I think that they are trying to sell Alison London Grimes and making her appear to be this independent, strong woman. And Alison London Grimes is anything but. I think that they believe that that is their best chance to defeat Mitch McConnell, not as a sacrificial lamb. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that if she ends up being the sacrificial lamb, that's going to bother them. It won't. The good old boy network in Kentucky is alive and well, and they'll use anybody they can to get their agenda, including an airhead like Alison London Grimes. But I think that that is I think that is what the real thought process is. I don't think they intentionally looked at this as a sacrificial lamb. I think they looked at this as, okay, we've got what some consider to be a pretty face. I'm not one of them. Some consider to be a pretty face, an elected state official who is known throughout the state as Secretary of State, even though she can't do that job effectively. You know, she is still known for that. Somebody who has campaign experience, but on a national stage, she doesn't have any knowledge, and that's where we would agree. She has some knowledge on state issues. She's been able to regurgitate the talking points there. Anybody can memorize. But I think they're trying to take advantage of the female situation because they think that's the only shot they've got. And if you're going to put somebody up there that just because they're a female, at least put somebody up there that is smart enough to do the job.
Well, I like your idea, Ed, that the Democrats are simply using their candidates to try to stay in power. What does that put them in the role of? If they're simply using candidates to achieve their goals, what does that make the party? Come on, Ed.
I'm telling you right now, the Democratic Party is. Go ahead.
It makes them pimps. They are pimping their women candidates for the benefit of the party. They're pimping women in the form of candidates. The Democrat Party is pimping women, and this is the party that goes around and makes these proclamations, these sanctimonious proclamations, that says they're more concerned about women's issues than anybody else on the face of the planet.
Well,
but yet,
know,
at the same time, they're pimping women to accomplish their larger party goals.
Well, I agree. You know, if you look at traditionally, if you look at everything that goes on, I mean, let's face facts here. You know, the Democrats continue to accuse Republicans of being sexist and racist. But when you look at, if you really break down and look at the reality of the situation, you know, the true sexist and racist are the Democratic Party itself. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And Alison Lundigan Grimes is actually, truthfully, I hate to even make this terminology because I really don't like to use it, but Alison Lundigan Grimes actually, truthfully, to me, as you pointed out, she's being pimped out. She's being used as a hooker who got all the unfavorable treatment from the Clarksville police. You know what I mean? And that's the really pathetic thing about it.
And
right?
She did go out to Hollywood. Now, hang on. You are closer to being on target than what you realize. She went out to Hollywood and raised how many millions of dollars from all those people out in Hollywood? Because she's a pretty face?
Because
she was being pimped out by the Kentucky Democrats? And I might add, the National Democrats, they were pimping her out in Hollywood. Yes,
well, that's it.
Your analogy has merit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she didn't just get campaign money. The Democratic Party got tons of money.
Thank you.
That's what it's
Thank
all
you.
About.
You
it's
bet
all
they
about
did.
The party first. It's all about the party first. I tell you, man, I would love to continue this conversation for another hour, but unfortunately we're out of time. Paul, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it. As always, it's great to get your insight on the situation. Thank you very much. You know, you got any final thoughts? You've been here almost a whole hour. Give me a final thought, man.
Well, I'm just going to reemphasize the point that you actually kind of brought up, and that is the Democrat Party here in Kentucky, since they've been in charge for, good Lord, for more than 40 years, they tend to want to maintain that power and control. And how they accomplish that goal is irrelevant of what they state is their concern for the people of Kentucky. If Alison Lundgren Grimes will help them achieve their goal of staying in power, and they send her out to Hollywood and talk to all those Hollywood types and raise millions of dollars for the Kentucky Democrat Party and their candidates, then that makes them the pimp and it makes her the prostitute. Okay? And that is not good for the Commonwealth of Kentucky to have a model like that seeking to govern this Commonwealth. That's just not good.
I agree with you, and it's funny you use that word, a model like that, because typically when you think of models, you typically think of females. We know there's male models, but most people think when you talk about the word model, you're talking about female models, all right? And the general thought when you think about models are, and I'm not saying it's true, I'm not condoning it, but most of the time when you're thinking about a model, you're thinking about their outer looks. You don't really care what's inside, and you think, you know, and a lot of people would think that models were airheads, not intelligent, and things like that, even though the proof is a lot of times entirely different than that. There are a lot of intelligent people out there modeling, folks, but it's that thought process, you know, and that's, I think, is exactly what's going on with Alison Lundgren Grimes. It's fascinating because the Democrats like to tell every African-American in this country that if you're not a Democrat, you're a racist and you're trying to hold them down and hold them back. They tell females that if you're not a Democrat in this country, you're a sexist and you're trying to hold females down and hold females back. Then they pick and choose and cherry pick whatever popular story that they decided to pay for and try to promote that. And yet when you look at his story, when you look at history and you look at the historical significance The Democrats were behind the KKK. The Democratic policies are the ones who are holding the African-American population back. Look at the West End of Louisville, who has repeatedly voted Democrat for dozens and dozens and dozens of years. And yet they are still being left behind. Then we want to look at the female particular portion of this. Let's look at the female. If the Democrats have had all the power and female wages are lower than their male counterparts, whose fault is that? They continue to rant and rave. They continue to rant and rave and rail against Republicans, saying that they are trying to hold the females down, that they're the reason that the females in this country make less money than men. They're the reason that females can't get the number one job. Never mind the evidence before us says that we have plenty of female CEOs in this country who are more than competent to do the jobs that they were tasked to do. Never mind that I can think of just as many females who make more money than men in this country doing the same job as anybody could come up with any man who makes more money than females. But yet the projection by the Democratic Party is that females are considered some sort of a lesser species, that if you're black, you're considered some sort of a lesser species, when the reality is so much different. It's time for the American people to wake up and smell the real coffee, not that decaf crap that the Democrats keep trying to slam down your throat. You got to wake up and smell the roses, folks. You've got to understand and take a good, hard look at reality instead of this tethered Cinderella land that you continue to follow in this liberal world that you created. It's the truth. It's the truth. Until you're willing to be honest with yourself and really do the in-depth research and pay attention to the truth, as all of us do when we bring you these shows, then you're going to continue to be misguided. You're going to continue to be left behind, and America is on a road to ruin. And there's only one person to blame. Look in the mirror. That's it for tonight, folks. I'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock once again with our Thursday night show right here, same time, same channel. For everybody else, if you don't join me tomorrow night, please join in Sunday night at 7 o'clock with our good friend Ken Mulman and his libertarian brand of Liberty Unbridled. In the meantime, folks, have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.